Wednesday, July 14, 2015. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday, and we bring you just a little bit different of an outlook on the world of sports than you are going to get anywhere else. If you want some sports insight mixed with some humor, maybe a little bit of sarcasm, hey, congratulations, you found your new podcast. Jump right in and start listening. You can subscribe wherever you find podcasts. We're kind of everywhere at this point. You can go to iTunes, you can go to Podcast Republic, go to any of those places and subscribe to the podcast to make sure that you don't miss a single episode. If you would like to contact me, we'll get this stuff out of the way because we got a lot to get to today. If you'd like to contact me, you can find me on Twitter. Twitter handle is at Daily Dose Sports. That is DALYDOSE, Daily Dose Sports. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook under the same name. If you would like to go over and check out our website, DailyDoseSports.wordpress.com, put up two or three new articles a week, some stuff that I think you will enjoy. You might want to head over there and check that out. If you would like to email the show directly, got a question, got a comment, got something you would like to ask about, feel free to email us, dailydosesports@gmail.com. That will come directly to the show, and we can respond accordingly. We've got a lot of stuff to get to today. You know, today we bring you a very special edition of the Daily Dose. Today, we are bringing you the first annual Daily Dose Awards show. The Doses will serve to recognize sports achievement and sports-related performances during the previous calendar year. The Doses are simply an award for daily dose-type excellence in the world of sports. See, we've gone through and we've selected winners. They're selected through, I'll be honest, it's a very arduous process. It's a stringent, it's a scientific process even. And these prestigious awards that we are going to hand out today, they're not just handed out, you know, haphazardly. The award winners that we're going to select today, they have been selected exclusively by myself, by some of the other contributors to the show, and a few of the Daily Dose voters that we have out around the nation. In fact, going into the show, I don't even know who the winners are yet. So I'm going to be as surprised as you all are when I open up the sealed envelopes that will contain our winners. So, you know, I've told you in the past, we've got kind of a dry season right now. We've got kind of just a spot this summer where there just isn't a lot going on. We've got the Doses for you. You're going to want to stick around and check these out. So without further ado, let's get to the first annual Dosey Awards. You know, our first award that we're going to hand out, and we've got a bunch of them to get to, our first award that we're going to hand out right now is for College Football Moment of the Year. You know, college football, it's going to be starting here soon. And college football, there's something really, really fun about college football. I'm a huge college football fan, love watching the games. The great thing about college football is you can turn on the games at least here in Denver. And I'm here in Denver, you know, Mountain Time. They're starting at like 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. You can watch them till like midnight. Like you can literally sink into your couch. You don't have to move. But, you know, college football is great. You've got the pageantry. You've got the history that goes with some of these schools and some of the rivalries that are out there. You've got the blind loyalty to your school. And to your school that cheats while proclaiming that, you know, they don't cheat and they're the only ones that don't cheat. College football, it has it all. Here are the nominees for College Football Moment of the Year. Not sure if you saw this game, but Nebraska's Jordan Westerkamp, playing versus Florida Atlantic this past season, goes out, ball is thrown, it goes through the defender's hands and hits Westerkamp in the back. He has his hands behind his back, grabs it, catches it behind his back, steps out of bounds. That's the first nominee. Nominee number two, Central Michigan. I don't know if you saw the Bahamas Bowl, but Central Michigan, at their own 25-yard line, down 49-42 to Western Kentucky, 1 second left. Quarterback, Cooper Rush throws a bomb to Jesse Kroll, but Kroll catches it. He's at about the Western Kentucky 30, and he's stopped. So he laterals it. That guy gets stopped. He laterals it. That guy gets stopped. He laterals it. Finally, Titus Davis grabs it and somehow runs it into the end zone. Of course, the only catch was Central Michigan decided they would take their chances and go for two, and it failed, but still, you know, The Hail Mary, the laterals. Central Michigan is the nominee of the year. Number three, nominee of the year. For college football moment of the year, I mean, we all remember Notre Dame. Notre Dame down 31-27 to number one Florida State in Tallahassee. Quarterback Everett Golson leads the Irish all the way down the field, takes him down to the Florida State 2-yard line, throws a touchdown to Corey Robinson with 13 seconds left, but the refs waved it off for offensive pass interference. Hey, you know, moment of the year, it might not always be, you know, necessarily a positive thing, but hey, you remember that moment. You might even remember after the game, Notre Dame coach Brian Kelly said, hey, we would coach that play the same way again. We would coach that play exactly the way we did. Well, I guess you can if you want to. But I mean, it was offensive pass interference. He ran downfield and blocked a guy that was trying, you know, blocked the defender that was trying to cover somebody. I guess you can continue. Maybe that's why you're Notre Dame these days. And I'm going to be honest, that one to me kind of stands out. That to me might be the winner because Notre Dame, I think it kind of exemplifies what college football has become. Remember, Notre Dame at one time used to stand for like the big dog in college football. And now they come up short to Florida State, a team that obviously will recruit, you know, anyone. So, and then Brian Kelly afterwards saying, well, we'd coach them the same way. Well, I guess if you want to lose again, I guess you can continue to coach that way. But, that play was illegal and you got called for it. So I don't know. I don't know who the, you know, college football moment of the year is. Let's check our envelope and our Dosey winner for college football moment of the year. The blocking of the Tallahassee Police Department for Florida State quarterback Jameis Winston. And you know what? I can't argue with that. Because the police department down at Tallahassee, obviously Jameis Winston being brought up on charges, you know, for sexual assault or whatever. The job that the Tallahassee Police Department did, blocking for him. I mean, they were out in front of him. They made sure to protect him at all angles. Wouldn't let, you know, common sense or the real authorities really get to Jameis Winston. Okay, I understand it. I'm not saying, you know, a little bit different, but our Dosey winner, Tallahassee Police Department, you win. Nice job. You win our first Dosey award. Let's move on. Let's move on to our next award that we've got to hand out because we've got a lot of them to get to. Flop of the year. Now, flop of the year, the thing about flopping, And in athletics, it kind of takes a special kind of player to flop. Because here you are basically kind of throwing yourself down intentionally, purely in hopes of getting an official's call. I mean, there's no other excuse for flopping except for trying to get, you know, an official's call. We see this obviously a lot in soccer, but hey, flop of the year, here are your nominees. Adrian of Leeds United. I know all these soccer guys just go by their, you know, first name. Adrian of Leeds United versus Derby County. If you haven't seen this, you could probably YouTube search this. Adrian of Leeds versus Derby County. He's running with the defender. Their feet kind of get tangled and he goes down. He stands up and then he throws himself up and to the ground. Hey, Adrian, You are definitely a nominee for flop of the year. Not sure if you were watching the Women's World Cup, but Stephanie Houghton of England in the Women's World Cup versus Japan, there was a corner kick. She runs in for the corner kick and obviously the kick isn't really going anywhere. Stephanie Houghton just throws herself to the ground and the official just kind of sees her, goes down and figures, well, I gotta call something because women aren't supposed to flop, right? This is kind of a guy thing. We should probably discuss at some point why women don't flop. But typically, women aren't floppers. But she totally flopped, and they got a penalty. She drew a penalty kick. England ended up scoring. That's why, on some level, I really wasn't that upset that England lost. I wish they wouldn't have lost on an own goal. But you can't flop. That's bad karma. You just can't do that. So Stephanie Houghton, she's definitely on the list of flop of the year. This one, I'm going to say this one, and I'm going to feel a little bit bad about putting this one on the list. Do you remember last summer, and we do, you know, go by the calendar year here on the Dosey Awards. Do you remember last summer in the Men's World Cup? And the Men's World Cup was being played in Brazil, and Brazil was obviously the big favorite. Neymar versus Colombia, he totally looked like he flopped. And he goes to the ground and he's looking like he is dying. I mean, he's rolling around on the ground and I'm like, man, that was a flop. That was totally a flop. And then we found out he had like broken his back. Sorry, dude. I probably shouldn't put you in here. You probably shouldn't have made the nominee list. But I had to put you on there somewhere. I guess, you know, we'll go to the envelope and see. Flop of the year. Winner for flop of the year. Dosie winner is LeBron James in game 4 of the NBA Finals. Well, I understand it. I understand it. Remember, he drove inside, got fouled. Andrew Bogut kind of fouls him, kind of ties him up, and then he flung himself up into the front row of the grandstand and jammed his head into a camera. Didn't make much sense. You had already drawn the foul. What were you trying to accomplish by flinging yourself? Again, we've talked about this on the Dose. We've talked about why sometimes people get rubbed the wrong way, I guess, by LeBron James. Everybody talks about, well, he's 6'7", he's 260 pounds, he's the biggest, strongest guy that's ever played. Well, then stop throwing yourself to the ground all the time. LeBron James wins our flop of the year. Let's move forward to the next dosie we're going to hand out. Because our next dosie is an interesting one. Biggest upset. You know, we love, in the world of sports, we love our upsets. We love our upsets. We love cheering for the little guy. We love cheering for kind of that David versus Goliath matchup, and just knowing that, you know, sometimes the little guy actually gets one and wins. So let's look at the nominees for biggest upset in sports. You might remember, men's basketball tournament, Georgia State, in college basketball, upset Baylor. Baylor, I believe, was a number 3 seed going in. Georgia State hits the shot right before the buzzer. Georgia State definitely, you know, is the little guy. I mean, who's going to put Georgia State up there with you know, a Big 12 program like Baylor? Next nominee, Ohio State. Ohio State, and I hesitate to put Ohio State in there for an upset, but they knocked off Alabama and Oregon in the first ever NCAA playoff in college football. No one had Ohio State. No one even had Ohio State getting into the college football playoff. We all just figured it was going to be Baylor or TCU. Ohio State not only gets in, they get in, and then they win the NCAA playoff. I guess I could see Ohio State being on the list for biggest upset. Third nominee for biggest upset, Andre Iguodala winning the MVP. I don't know if that's a huge upset. Maybe it's an upset because he probably shouldn't have won it. Was Andre Iguodala really the most valuable player? I have a feeling Steph Curry was still the most valuable player. I guess. Andre Iguodala winning the MVP. No one really, I guess we didn't exactly expect that. So, I understand that. Let's take a look and see what's in our envelope. This says future winner, Tom Brady serves any time whatsoever for Deflategate. Well, yeah, is that an upset? I don't know if that's an upset. It's a little bit of an upset because right now he's scheduled for 4 games. We'll see where that ends up going. I have a feeling that might not exactly last. Okay, let's move forward. Best championship performance. Our best championship performance this year. Who did it on the big stage? It's one thing to do it in the regular season. It's one thing, well, unless you're like the Raiders and you do it in the preseason, but it's another thing to do it, you know, even in the playoffs, but in the championship. In the biggest game, all the spotlight is on you. Best championship performance. Here are your nominees. Golden State Warriors versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. Golden State, got to give them a ton of credit this year for what they did. And you think back even to their playoff run, getting down 2-1 to Memphis in that series. They go down 2-1 to Cleveland, and they come storming back to win 3 straight versus LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. I know everybody talks about Cleveland being undermanned. You still had to overcome, LeBron James. You still had to overcome playing in Cleveland those times. Golden State definitely turned up their game in the championship for championship performance. The Chicago Blackhawks in the NHL versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. That was a better series, I think, than maybe a lot of people understand. Every game was just so tight. Every game, every shift seemed like it mattered. And Chicago, you have to give the Chicago Blackhawks a lot of credit because, it's one thing to win in this age when you have free agency and you have so much player movement and you have, you know, these salary caps, but Chicago has what won their third championship in like 5 years. Got to give Chicago a ton of credit for the job that they've done in building a franchise that is strong every single year. Chicago Blackhawks definitely turned it up in the championship. Our third nominee, the New England Patriots versus the Seattle Seahawks. You know, remember the Super Bowl from this last year? Very entertaining game. Patriots were down. It was a dogfight of a game. And somehow, again, New England has found a way, some of it legal, to win and keep winning. And we kind of keep waiting for that other shoe to fall with the Patriots. Some of the draft picks they've had, some of the murders that they have on their team, but somehow the Patriots keep getting it done and their best championship performance. They showed up, you know, big time against Seattle when it mattered. So let's take a look. And our Dosi winner for the best championship performance, Katy Perry's Left Shark. Who put that on here? Katy Perry's Left Shark, he didn't seem very interested. Should he really win Best Championship Performance? Somebody mix that in there. I don't know how the Left Shark, if you saw the halftime show of the Super Bowl, Katy Perry, that Left Shark, he just kind of seemed like he was just standing. I don't know if he was drunk. I don't know what was, I don't know. Well, the Left Shark wins it. Here on the Daily Dose, the Left Shark wins it. Let's move forward. Let's move forward to something we don't talk about a lot. Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball's moment of the year. You know, baseball isn't what it used to be. I'll be honest. Or even what it used to think that it used to be. In fact, baseball has kind of gone the way of horse racing and maybe the Edsel. It's funny to me. You know, here it is. We just had the All-Star game last night. All-Star game, you know, American League wins the All-Star game. Night before, we had the Home Run Derby. I personally feel like we should just, instead of having games, Major League Baseball should just have home run derbies every night. You just roll out your best hitters, we throw some pitches, and you see if you can knock a few out. It would probably be more entertaining, but it's funny. Because what's the thing that you heard around the office today about the All-Star game last night, or about the Home Run Derby? Oh, it was actually really good. It was actually a really good game. Oh, the Home Run Derby, it was actually really good. We don't say that about other sports. Like, when the Warriors and the Cavaliers were coming down to the buzzer and we were watching, we're like, oh man, great game last night. Yeah, it was a really good game. You know, so-and-so played good. Yeah. NFL. Did you see the Super Bowl? Oh yeah, it was a really good finish. We're not like surprised. Like with baseball, we're like, no, I can't believe it. It was a really good game last night. Who knew baseball could actually be interesting? That's kind of where we're at with baseball. We have to chalk ourselves into baseball actually being good. No, did you see World Series Game 7? It was actually pretty good. I can't believe it was actually good. Well, that's just where baseball is these days. Our Major League moment of the year, here are your nominees. Madison Bumgarner, I mean, biggest game, speaking of championship performances, Madison Bumgarner, Game 7 World Series versus Kansas City. Dude was on just 2 days rest. He didn't start the game, but he came on as a reliever. Through 5 scoreless innings, and the Giants won their third championship in just 5 years. Bumgarner definitely has to be on the list. You might remember in the wild card game. You know, we talk about the Kansas City Royals, and obviously what the Royals have done this year, they're kind of, you know, putting themselves forward as being one of the big dogs in Major League Baseball. But you might not remember they were down 7-3 in the AL wild card game to Oakland. Salvador Perez singles down the third baseline to score the winning run, and Kansas City survives and moves on to beat Oakland 9-8. They ended up going to the World Series, and now we see where they're at now. So Salvador Perez's singled down third baseline definitely should be a nominee on there. And then, you know, it's not always a positive thing, but I think we all remember Clayton Kershaw just getting shelled in Game 1 of the National League Division Series against the Cardinals. You know, you expected when Kershaw went out there, you were like, okay, Kershaw's on the mound tonight. Dodgers are definitely going to get a win. He allows 8 hits, 8 runs in 6 innings. And the Cardinals beat the Dodgers 10-9, and it kind of just swung that series. And you just felt like as much talent as the Dodgers have, I don't know if they have a franchise like St. Louis that just finds ways to get it done. And when Kershaw got shelled in that first game, definitely a moment of the year that we all remember. So our Dosi winner, we go to the envelope, and our Dosi winner is Alex Rodriguez. Gets the 3,000 hits, which I think is a good winner. Because when you think about Alex Rodriguez getting to 3,000 hits, it kind of encompasses what baseball really is in 2015. We have these numbers that mean nothing by a guy jacked up with steroids, and even when he broke 3,000, he did it on a home run. Everybody at Yankee Stadium was kind of like looking around like, well, do we cheer? I don't even know. Nobody watched it on TV, so yeah, perfect. I think we finally got one right. I think we definitely got one right. Major League Moment of the Year goes to Alex Rodriguez. Move on. Let's move on. We're going to go to the fight of the year. There's been some good fights. There's been some good fights. You know, the interesting thing about fighting and boxing, and I didn't put the MMA stuff on here. I know. I have a hard time. I struggle a little bit with MMA. And I've told you guys that. And I'm not down on it. Like, if it's on, I'll watch it. I'm not. But I struggle a little bit that a fight could end just on an armbar or something. There's something about boxing, the sweet science, the ultimate sport, where, you know, two combatants enter and it's just you and that other person. I mean, two people enter and like three dirty judges that have been paid by the promoter will leave. That is boxing these days. So here are your nominees for fight of the year. Obviously Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao. If you like hugging, if you're like a hugging person, this was probably the fight for you. Mayweather wins a majority decision, danced around and ran all night. I understood it. I predicted it. I thought that was what was going to happen, and he outpointed him. Pacquiao didn't look like he had any gas in him, didn't look like he was, you know, he was capable of hanging with Mayweather, kept catching that overhand right that kept slowing him down. But if you want the biggest fight of the year, without a doubt, this was the biggest fight of the year, Mayweather versus Pacquiao. Everybody was watching this. Our second nominee, Lucas Matisse versus Ruslan Provodnikov. This was a really, really good fight. If you haven't seen this, go back to YouTube or look for it, you know, on your cable provider. Matisse versus Provodnikov was an excellent fight, back and forth. Did not know which fighter was going to win. Matisse ended up winning a majority decision. I think they actually, for a change, actually got the decision right, but it was a very, very entertaining fight that went to the distance. Our third nominee, Canelo Alvarez versus James Kirkland. Alvarez, it was only three rounds. Alvarez versus Kirkland, it was only three rounds, and I know, you know, Canelo has a big following. You remember he fought Mayweather like 2 years ago. He has a big following, but this was non-stop action. Kirkland came into this fight and basically was just like, hey, I got nothing to lose. We're just going to throw. And they threw. Alvarez, you know, Canelo ended up knocking out Kirkland in the third round, but it was an entertaining fight for three rounds. Nonstop action. So let's go to the awards. Our Dosi winner for fight of the year, Florida State quarterback DeAndre Johnson versus Blonde. How does that get on our list? That's not a fight. That wasn't a fight. Like, she's, I don't know, she's saying you cut in front of me for a drink. That wasn't, and then he just punched. That shouldn't be, I apologize for that one. That should not have gotten on the list. That, I don't know how that one mixed in there, but I'm sorry for that one. We'll move forward. We'll plow ahead. Let's move on to best defense. Sometimes in sports, the best offense is a good defense. This is not actually one of those times, but the nominees for best defense are as follows. First nominee, got to talk about this guy, might be the best defender in the game right now, J.J. Watt with the Houston Texans. You know, this past year, J.J. Watt did it all. 78 tackles, 20 and a half sacks, elected to the Pro Bowl, was first team all pro, was defensive player of the year, was Pro Bowl defensive MVP. J.J. Watt even caught a couple touchdowns. I mean, he did it all. Well, except for get his team into the playoffs. Other than that, he did it all. But, I mean, he doesn't have a quarterback, so I'm not going to hold that against him. Hey, yeah, best defender, J.J. Watt should definitely be on this list. Our second nominee, Kawhi Leonard. You know Kawhi Leonard with the San Antonio Spurs is only the sixth forward to lead the league in steals per game? He had 148 steals this year, had 461 rebounds, 48 blocks. Kawhi Leonard is one of those players, I think, that once he kind of figures out how good that he truly is, He can be such a dominant player. I hesitate to use some of these comparisons, and I don't want to throw this out there, just kind of at random, but he reminds you so much of Scottie Pippen, which with his length and his reach, his quick feet, his ability at his size, and he's not a huge guy, but, you know, he's 6'7", 6'8", at his size to be as quick and strong as he is, Kawhi Leonard is a guy, I mean, he has unlimited potential. All the acquisitions that they got through free agency, Kawhi Leonard could be the guy that capitalizes the most. Moving on to our third nominee, Hope Solo. Hope Solo, goaltender for the USA Women's Soccer in the World Cup. She helps Team USA win their third World Cup ever, wins the Golden Glove for best goalie. Do you realize that Hope Solo allowed just 3 goals in 7 games in the World Cup? Hope Solo, phenomenal, phenomenal defender. And I still go back to the game versus Germany when the Germans had the penalty kick and the kick went wide. It just made me wonder a little bit if they were concerned. We've got to try to get to the edge because if we kick it anywhere near her, she's going to stop it. They ended up kicking it wide and Team USA came back and was able to find a way to score in that game and beat Germany. So there are your 3 nominees. We will see who our Dosi winner is. Best defense for our Dosi award is Oscar Pistorius. Oscar Pistorius shot his model girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp, 4 times. He said he thought it was an intruder. He was in the bathroom. She was out in another room. He shot through the door 4 times. He got just 5 years. And they're saying he should actually be out by October to serve the remainder of his time at his home. Yeah, I'd say Oscar Pistorius had pretty good defense. I don't know how you shooting someone once is an accident. Shooting someone 4 times, I don't know if I'm going to buy that. Yeah, I guess I can see it. All right, let's move ahead. NBA moment of the year. You know the NBA season had it all this year. I mean, you have young players showing what the future is going to be. You have Steph Curry, you have James Harden, you have those young guys that are coming on, and you're starting to see a glimpse of what is coming for the NBA. The NBA has a bright, bright future. You have players, obviously, who are in their prime, playing at the top of their game. You know, guys like LeBron James, who you know, for all the knocks on him and his struggles, you know, with his team, he played out of his mind in the playoffs, carried that team. You know, so you have that. You have older players that somehow are still finding ways to win, to still be very, very good. You have, you know, these players like Tim Duncan that somehow find the fountain of youth and are still playing at such a high level. Well, and then you have other older players who can't find the fountain of youth, despite probably making a deal with Satan himself, like, you know, Kobe Bryant. Anyways, here are our nominees for NBA Moment of the Year. Hey, Steph Curry hitting 7 threes and going for 40 points versus Cleveland in Game 5. It has to be one of those moments of the year in the NBA that you're going to remember. You know, Game 4 was so pivotal. They were down 2-1. They kind of ground out a game. It wasn't a very pretty game, but Golden State found a way to beat Cleveland in Game 4. In Game 5, Steph just kind of took over. And the moment that I kind of flash back to is I remember there was about a minute and a half left. He kind of had dribbled out. He had kind of done some screen and roll, and he pulled it out, and he was out at about 30 feet, and he shot a bomb that hit nothing but net and just kind of sealed the deal. So Steph Curry, definitely one of our nominees. Next nominee, James Harden had the 3-pointer versus the Clippers to put them up and just finish the game in Game 7. We forget the Clippers, that series was over. The Clippers should have been facing Golden State. James Harden hit that 3, puts him up by 21. And Harden in that Game 7, again, on the biggest of stages, James Harden had 26 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists. He showed up in a big way. You know, another moment that you're going to remember about this NBA season, LeBron James overruling his coach David Blatt. He hit the 3 in Game 4 versus the Bulls over on the Eastern Conference Divisional Series. You know, coach had kind of called for LeBron to be a little bit of a decoy. LeBron said, no, give me the ball. I'll hit it. He took the ball, hit the shot, tied up the series for the Bulls. Remember, the Bulls were up in that series 2-1. LeBron James, big, big moment for him there. Let's take a look at our Dosi winner. Our Dosi winner is the Washington Wizards' Paul Pierce, Game 7 versus the Hawks. Yeah, remember this one? Remember in Game 5, he had hit the bank shot? And they said, well, did you call bank? And he said, no, I called game. In Game 7 versus the Hawks, he hits the three. He calls game, and then he yells up to the crowd, series, game, series. And then the shot got waved off because it was after the buzzer, so it didn't really matter. Yeah, I guess I understand. I mean, the NBA, you got, sometimes these guys in the NBA probably talking a little more than they should. Pierce, I guess that makes sense. Definitely moment of the year for Paul Pierce. Our best comeback. When you think of sports, you think of comebacks, and you know, the ability of one team to just never get up. What do you do when the chips are down? Do you just quit and go away? Or do you find a way to use some dumb sports cliche to motivate yourself? Here are our nominees for best comeback. First nominee. Chicago Cubs third baseman Chris Bryant, you know, he was demoted to the minors right before the season. He has been brought back up. It hasn't been, you know, insane, but I mean, dude is hitting .275. He's got 12 home runs. He has 50 RBIs. Chris Bryant definitely has been part of a comeback in Major League Baseball. Our second nominee, you know, the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl down 24-14. In the third quarter, Patriots come back completely on their own. No help from Pete Carroll. It was just them. Best comeback, New England Patriots. They're definitely there. Our third nominee for best comeback of the year, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Again, remember Ohio State in football. Ohio State lost to Virginia Tech. Not only did they lose to Virginia Tech, they were members of the Big Ten Conference, somehow came back to win a national championship. That just doesn't happen. Do you understand? That just doesn't happen. Okay, best comeback. You never know what it's going to be. Our Dosi winner for best comeback, DeAndre Jordan to the Clippers. Well, yeah, I mean, he said he was going to Dallas. It was just a verbal. He canceled, went back to the Clippers instead. Is he that guy that like orders a pizza and then calls back 5 minutes later? I don't want it. It kind of seems like DeAndre Jordan might have a little bit of a problem making a decision. Okay, moving forward here, let's jump forward to our driver of the year. You know, auto racing, really, really big here in the States, really, really big worldwide. And sure, you know, back in the day, Back in the olden days, you had to be a little bit of an athlete, you know, to do some of the driving. You had to physically kind of manhandle your car around. I don't know if these drivers today are really athletes. I'm not sure if they are. When you're like 5'2 and like 89 pounds dripping wet, I'm not sure if you're really an athlete. You probably couldn't run a 50-yard dash, but we're going to give you an award anyway, even though we should probably give the award to your car. Here are the nominees for driver of the year. First nominee, Lewis Hamilton. You know, racing over in Formula One, over in Europe. You know, Lewis Hamilton has won the pole 15 times. He has won 16 Formula One races over the past two seasons. He is currently leading Formula One championship points right now. Our second nominee, Kevin Harvick, 2014 NASCAR Sprint Cup champion. And again, Kevin Harvick is a guy that just keeps getting it done and keeps finding ways to win. He is currently leading the 2015 in Sprint Cup points right now. So Kevin Harvick, pretty good driver. Our third nominee, Ty Lawson. How does Ty Lawson get on the? Who put this in here? I bet that was John. Bet that was John from the IE. Ty Lawson should not be on driver of the year. Dude just got his second DUI in like the past 6 months. Ty Lawson is not. Ha ha. Okay. Yeah, that's funny. Whatever. Our driver of the year, our Dosi winner, we will give to Patriots linebacker Brandon Spikes. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, the cops found Spike's car ditched on the side of the highway back in Foxborough on June 7th. The problem was Brandon Spikes wasn't in it. You know, these expensive cars, they do come with the OnStar system. And so when the car had actually, you know, crashed, these OnStar systems detected that there had been a crash. And apparently, Brandon Spikes told the OnStar operator that he had hit a deer, except that there was no deer. And Spikes had actually rear-ended a family of three, including a 12-year-old girl, and then fled the scene. Yeah, I guess Brandon Spikes would win our driver of the year. The Patriots subsequently cut him, which to me was probably the biggest surprise of it all, was that the Patriots actually cut the guy. They must not think he can play or trust he would still be playing. Okay, driver of the year, Brandon Spikes. Yeah, I guess so. Let's move forward to our greatest coaching performance. As many of you know, if you listen to the Daily Dose, I have a little bit of a background in coaching. I coached high school basketball for a number of years here in Colorado. So this award is especially meaningful for me because I know the hard work and I know the dedication that it takes to coach. It takes a little bit of luck, takes a lot of hard work, takes a lot of preparation and just the ability to work with people. So greatest coaching performance. And remember, folks, those who can't do, coach. Here are your nominees for greatest coaching performance. First off, Ohio State's Urban Meyer for returning the Big Ten from its grave. You know, it was just a few years ago we were talking about the Big Ten just is not what they are anymore. Urban Meyer went back to Ohio State and has somehow revived Big Ten football. We are now talking, I mean, Ohio State is number one going into the season, and you've got to give a ton of that credit to Urban Meyer. Wherever that guy goes, he's just so, so good. He burns it really, really hard. He's probably only going to last like another year or two, and then he'll say he wants to quit and spend more time with his family. But somehow, Urban Meyer, he's got the Big Ten back. You know what's funny? Just before last year, if you said, name the best college football coach in the country, everyone would have said Nick Saban. It wouldn't have even been close. If you said it right now, I'll bet more people would take Urban Meyer than they would Saban. Urban Meyer is that good. He wins every one at Bowling Green. Yeah, Urban Meyer should definitely be on our list. Second nominee, Mike Krzyzewski at Duke. You know, Krzyzewski won his fifth national championship, won his 1,000th game. The job that Krzyzewski has done definitely has put himself up there among that Mount Rushmore of great college coaches. Krzyzewski, you know, he's been doing it for a long, long, long time. And still, you know, the kind of knock on Krzyzewski, at least recently, well, he hasn't won it lately. Well, he won it this past year. Mike Krzyzewski definitely up for coaching performance of the year. Our third nominee, Steve Kerr with the Golden State Warriors. You know, Steve Kerr set the record for most wins as an NBA rookie coach. He was the first rookie coach to win the championship since Pat Riley back in 1982. Got some really, really good nominations for our greatest coaching performance. Let's see who our winner is. And the envelope says, our Dosey winner, coaching performance of the year, Pete Carroll, Seattle Seahawks, for having the guts to call that dumb play at the end of the Super Bowl. Well, that's not necessary. Pete Carroll shouldn't be on that list. Why is he on? He didn't even win the game. Get him off there. I don't know who put that one in there. Pete Carroll should not have won that. We'll move ahead because Pete Carroll clearly, I mean, that's one of the dumbest calls in history. Pete Carroll shouldn't be on that list. He definitely shouldn't have won it. All right. College basketball moment of the year. Moment of the year in college basketball. You know, there's no better time of the year than March Madness. March Madness, I've said it before, but March Madness, every year, it lives up to the hype. We have the Super Bowl. Sometimes it's a good game, sometimes it's horrible. World Series, sometimes it's a decent series, sometimes it's over in four games. And either way, no one watches it. You know, we had a very, very good NBA, you know, finals this year, but it's not always. You know, there's a number of years that it's not very good. Every year, March Madness is great. It lives up to the hype. I am told, and I don't know this, I'm told they actually play college basketball games before March Madness, but no one knows really if it's true or not. Either way, here are the nominees for college basketball moment of the year. our first nominee. You might remember in one of the earlier rounds of the March Madness tournament, Notre Dame's Pat Connaughton, the block on Butler with the game tied 2 seconds left. Butler has a chance to win it at the buzzer, goes down to the corner, and Connaughton somehow runs down there and knocks the shot out of bounds, getting Notre Dame to overtime. Notre Dame ended up beating Butler. Very, very entertaining game, but Pat Connaughton definitely had a huge, huge play in college basketball this year. The big shot by Georgia State's RJ Hunter, the three-pointer, 4 seconds left, hits it from deep to knock Butler out of the tournament. You might remember RJ Hunter's father is the coach. He's he's got the Achilles tear or something. He's on the stool thing. He falls over onto the floor. Somehow Georgia State upsets Baylor and moves forward. That's definitely one of the college basketball moments of the year. And our third nominee. You might remember another first round upset. Iowa State got upset when UAB somehow knocked them out, and Robert Brown shot a deep three pointer. UAB was down by two. UAB hadn't hit a three, didn't look like they were gonna hit a three, hadn't shot it very well. All their points were going inside. Somehow Robert Brown, with the game on the line, knocks down a three to put UAB up. They managed to hold off Iowa State and knock Iowa State out of the tournament. So UAB's Robert Brown on our list. Couple of, you know, a few good nominees there. Our Dosey winner goes to, Duke. Duke up five with 1:51 left. The loose ball goes off of Duke. The refs check the replay during the national championship game. They see the evidence that the ball goes off of Duke. They ignore the evidence. Duke hits a three on the next possession. Go Duke. Refs celebrate. The refs help cut down the nets with Duke. Got to go into the locker room and celebrate with them. Poured some champagne on each other. I guess the refs really win the Dosey for college basketball moment of the year. That really was a surreal moment in college basketball. I mean, we all saw the ball go off the hand of the Duke player. And then they go to the replay, they look at it, we all see it, and then they come back and say, no, it's still Duke's ball. And it made me wonder one of two things on that play. Either because what they said afterward, they said, well, we didn't have the angle that you all had. We didn't get to see the angle that you guys had. So one of two things happened. Either it's shady, they saw the angle and ignored the angle, or they're the stupidest entity out there that they didn't have all the angles for the biggest game of their entire season. How would you not have every single angle? Well, maybe the Dosey winner should go to like CBS for not getting them the feed. I'm giving it to the refs. It goes to the refs. Okay. Okay, let's move forward. Greatest record-breaking performance. You know, as a society, we are driven by records in sports. We love to see numbers fall. We want to see who threw the most touchdowns and who hit the most home runs and who scored the most points. And we are a society that is driven, you know, by records. Of course, we are also a society that has futuristic technology in our cell phones, and we use it to look at like pictures of cats, but still. We love our records. That's what I'm trying to say. We love our records. Here are some of the nominees for greatest record-breaking performance. First nominee, Los Angeles Lakers Kobe Bryant passes Michael Jordan on the NBA all-time scoring list. MJ was sitting at 32,292 points. Bryant went by him, and the wind that blew past there maybe separated Kobe's shoulder. I don't know. But he passed Michael Jordan. I mean, that's pretty impressive to pass Michael Jordan on the all-time scoring list. Kobe obviously came into the league a little bit earlier, came in at just 18 years of age, but to play for that long and to play at that high of a level, pretty impressive. Kobe Bryant passes Michael Jordan. Number two, record-breaking performance. Steph Curry, number of threes in a playoff series. You realize Steph Curry hit 59 threes in that playoff series against Houston? Breaks the record for most three-pointers in a playoff series. Pretty amazing shooting display that Steph Curry put on in the playoffs and in the finals. And our third record-breaking performance, Tom Brady, most Super Bowl starts. You know, Tom Brady started in his sixth Super Bowl, and however you slice it, and whatever you put on there with Belichick and with Brady and what the Patriots have done, six starts in a Super Bowl, is absolutely amazing. And the career that Tom Brady has had, nothing short of spectacular for Tom Brady. Our Dosey winner, greatest record-breaking performance, Aaron Hernandez for people murdered in one night? That doesn't belong on we don't put that on this list. He shouldn't be on here. And I don't know what that number even is. What is that, like 15? Yeah, okay, dude killed a lot of people, and probably in one night. We know he shot a couple people in the face in one night. But Aaron Hernandez, I'm not giving him an award. He's not getting a Dosey. No. I refuse to give Aaron Hernandez an award for killing people. Can we get to a category where I don't get nonsense? It seems like every single time, I get these contributors to my show that come in. You know, I have people out there. I have, John, and I have Rob, and I have Todd, and I have Mike, and I have a number of these people, and they give me some of these contributions, but these things aren't necessary. Moving ahead to a positive category for the Doses. Finally, Parent of the Year. Parent of the Year. We like to point out a lot of the negatives in sports. And especially with some of these athletes, and some of them are parents, and we look at the job that they're doing as parents, and we kind of knock the job that they're doing. We look at how many kids they have and the Sean Kemps of the world and guys like that, a little bit crazy. But here at the Daily Dose, we like to dwell on positive things. We're not going to just stay negative. Aaron Hernandez winning greatest record. Okay, Parent of the Year. Can we get on to the positive? Parent of the Year, first nominee, Steph Curry. Again, I know dudes all over the Doses today, nominee-wise. Steph Curry, bringing Riley Curry into his post-game conference as a senior, that she might be the cutest kid ever. I know everybody kind of fell in love with her, but she's got some personality. She's pretty funny, and you can see the relationship that she has with her dad, Steph, and just how much involvement that Steph Curry has with his daughter, Riley. I could see Steph for Parent of the Year. Our second nominee, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, you saw, he's got his twins, daughter Mosley and son Marshall, brought him to Broncos practice, had them out on the field kind of playing with him. You see him just kind of playing with his kids and taking the time, even during a stressful season. Even during a season when you know Peyton, that's not his way. He is not that guy. He is all about preparation and let's get ready. And I need to throw this pass and run this play. But taking time out of his day for his twins, obviously, has a great relationship with his kids. Yeah, I could see Peyton Manning on here. Our third nominee, Adrian Peterson, haha. We're trying to stay positive, and then somebody out there throws in a suggestion like Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson is not on my list for nominee of Parent of the Year. He got in trouble for child abuse. He has no business whatsoever being on this list for Parent of the Year. Ignore that. We're at the Daily Dose. We keep it positive. We're not going to dwell on the negative things like that for Adrian Peterson. Our Dosey winner for Parent of the Year, Delonte West for raising LeBron, right? What does that even mean? Delonte West is not LeBron's dad. I don't know what's going on with Delonte and LeBron's mom, but he's not his dad. He's not Parent of the Year. That's not, again, more negativity and more nonsense coming for the contributors to this show. Delonte West is not LeBron's dad. He doesn't win Parent of the Year. I don't know what's going on with him and LeBron's mom. And I don't want to know what's going on between him and LeBron's mom. Can we move forward? Can we get to something? Here's something positive. Soccer Moment of the Year. Wait, that's not. American Soccer Moment of the Year. This was going to be Soccer Moment of the Year, but I mean, come on. It's soccer. Here are your nominees for American Soccer Moment of the Year. First nominee. Hey, USA women win the Women's World Cup for the first time in, 16 years, beating Japan in convincing fashion. The run that these women went on, just a phenomenal, phenomenal group of players that came together for USA. Second nominee for American Soccer Moment of the Year, USA women beating Japan in the Women's World Cup. Again, pretty impressive, the job that those ladies did. Third nominee for American Soccer Moment of the Year, USA women winning the Women's World Cup over Japan. Dosi winner for American Soccer Moment of the Year. Well, and this is a little bit of a surprise. USA women winning the Women's World Cup over Japan. What else could it be? Be honest. What else could it be? We don't care that much about soccer. I'll watch some World Cup. That's about it. All right. Let's move forward. Best shooter. Best shooter. You know, sometimes we kind of tend to overanalyze sports, don't we? And we look at schemes, we look at chemistry, we look at coaching, but sometimes it just comes down to who can run the fastest, who can jump the highest, who can shoot the best. Sometimes it just comes down to who is the best, and it isn't you. Here are the nominees for best shooter. Best shooter. Steph Curry, again, makes our nominee list. Had a phenomenal season. Was the NBA Finals champion. Wins the NBA Finals for the Golden State Warriors for the first time in like 40 years. Dude made 1,191 three-pointers this season. Hit 98 in the postseason alone. Was the season MVP. Steph Curry, one of the best young shooters. It's amazing to me at his age that we can already put him up with some of the best shooters of all time, but he's absolutely put himself in that category. We'll see his longevity and how long he can continue to last at that level, but he's definitely at least among in the conversation of best shooters of all time. Steph Curry, yeah, he's definitely in there with best shooters. Our second nominee, Jonathan Toews, Chicago Blackhawks. Jonathan Toews scored 66 points in the regular season, scored 21 in the postseason while leading Chicago to their third Stanley Cup in like just 5 years. Jonathan Toews, phenomenal shooter on the ice. Yeah, he definitely belongs in that list. And our third nominee, James Harden. You know, James Harden averaged 27 points per game. He shot 44% in the playoffs. I don't know if Dwight Howard shot it that well in the playoffs, and everything he's shooting is a dunk. Led the Rockets to the Western Conference Finals. There were some shots. You know, Harden has that little step back three. There were some times I just said, he can't shoot that here. Not only did he shoot it, he knocked it down and hit it. So best shooter, yeah, I mean, there's some really, really good shooters on there. Let's go to our Oscar Pistorius as the Dosi winner. We're not giving an award to... Why do we keep doing this? Why do we keep giving awards to people that don't deserve these awards? I apologize. I apologize. We'll make this right. You're going to have to trust me. We'll get this right eventually. We only have a few more awards to go. We the rest of these, I'm pretty sure, will be fine to get down to the rest of these. Okay. Best game day promotion. You know, going to the ballpark, it used to be fun before you had to take out like a second mortgage to afford it. But every once in a while, the home team puts on a promotion that just brings the people out and somehow makes it worth it to pay like $12 for a watered down beer. I'm not a person particularly that enjoys going to the game. I don't think you see it as much, but there is a certain, attraction to being at the game, having the energy of everyone around you. And sometimes it comes down to a great game day promotion that really gets people excited about going to the game. And I'll give you an example. In the NFL, you have, the pink breast cancer t-shirts, the breast cancer, headbands and wristbands and shoes and towels. And, you know, the NFL does a really, really great job of promoting breast cancer awareness and all the pink that they do. I believe that's during the month of October. I get it. That's a great game day promotion. I'm hoping that they're actually raising some money for breast cancer and not just wearing pink stuff. I'm hoping they're actually... I don't know that, but I'm just hoping that they are. So the NFL on the list for sure for best game day promotion. In the NBA, a lot of times in the NBA, you will have bobblehead night. Bobbleheads are kind of weird. Not going to lie. You have, kind of a likeness of maybe your favorite player or favorite, coach or mascot or whatever. And they've got the body on the stand, and then you have the head with the spring, and the head kind of bobbles around. NBA bobblehead night. There are a lot of people that collect bobbleheads. It's a big thing. It's a big thing in you know, sports collectors and stuff. They love the bobbleheads. In the NHL, sometimes you'll have puck night. You know, first a certain amount of people through the door, they all get an NHL puck that you know you can take home, and again, maybe you have your favorite player sign it or whatever. But NHL has puck night. It's a little bit, some of these promotions are a little bit dangerous, because you know you can't have bat night, or you know people are going to throw it on the ice. Puck night is one of those things that if you get the wrong crowd, you get the rowdy crowd, you get Philadelphia, they're all going to throw it at the refs or throw it at the other team or whatever. So you got to be a little bit careful with you know, puck night and that kind of thing. But let's see who our Dosi Werner is for best game day promotion. The New York Giants for Jason Pierre-Paul foam no finger night. You're not going to make a foam hand with no fingers on it. That's not even a real thing. You guys just made that up. It's getting tough to keep going with these awards, but we'll get this turned around. We'll get this fixed. NFL moment of the year. NFL moment of the year. You know, the NFL is the big dog of the sports world. And we've talked about this on the Dose. People would rather watch the NFL choosing up teams in their draft than they would watch other sports like championship games. And this is absolutely proven when they have draft night and everybody tunes in and watches the draft, literally watches the NFL choosing teams, picking teams, rather than they would like watch, game five of like the Western Conference Finals in NHL or the NBA or whatever it might be. It's crazy. You know, pro football players are the modern day gladiators. I mean, they go out there, they sacrifice their bodies, they sacrifice sometimes their lives and their well-being to play a sport that is so, so dangerous. Yet we're always just a little bit surprised when they aren't that bright, aren't we? I mean, here these guys are going out and like fighting the lions and you know, the chariots and the whole thing, like gladiators. And then we're a little bit surprised when one of them has firecracker go off in his hand. Anyways, here are the nominees for NFL moment of the year. Our first nominee has got to be Odell Beckham Jr.'s one-handed catch that he had this past season. Dude, I mean, it has shown not only is he a phenomenal football player, and the sky's the limit for this kid. He's got a ton of ability. We've seen him throw a pretty good pitch. I mean, he is a really, really good athlete. Odell Beckham Jr., my only concern for him is he doesn't, you know, you've got Eli Manning not playing great. He doesn't have much around him. They don't have a great offensive line back in New York. But Odell Beckham Jr., that moment when he caught that one-handed pass on Sunday Night TV, pretty impressive stuff. Second nominee for NFL moment of the year, New England Patriots cornerback Malcolm Butler's interception in the Super Bowl versus the Seahawks. You know, we obviously give Pete Carroll a ton of grief for that stupid call that he made down at the goal line. But, you know, they say that Malcolm Butler's, he said that during practice, they had actually run that play in their practice. And Bill Belichick had said, hey, you can't let them cut right across the middle and catch that quick slant, especially down at the goal line. You've got to jump that route. Malcolm Butler jumped that route, made the interception that sealed the win for the New England Patriots. Definitely one of the moments of the year, one of the most memorable moments. Our third nominee for moment of the year, Marshawn Lynch. And you might not remember this, but in week 16, Marshawn Lynch ran a 79-yard touchdown run, and he ran over the whole Arizona Cardinals team. Marshawn Lynch is an absolute beast, which again makes me wonder why Pete Carroll didn't just give him the ball, but enough of that. We'll move past that stuff. So let's see what our Dosi winner is. Our Dosi winner is Greg Hardy, former Panthers, current Cowboys defensive end, gets his 10-game suspension for domestic abuse reduced to 4 games. That is our Dosi Werner. And I'll tell you why that's our Dosi winner. Because that opens the door for the NFL to drop all charges against Tom Brady, which is what I have been saying they will do all along. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Expect that ruling. They're going to come out on like a Friday afternoon at about 5 o'clock, and they're going to announce it on like ESPN3 and say, oh, and by the way, we've dropped everything against Tom Brady. It's coming. It's coming. We know it's coming. We all know it's coming. It's going to happen. Them dropping, you're not going to suspend Greg Hardy and Tom Brady the exact same amount. I mean, there's no way. Doesn't make any sense. And if you don't know what Greg Hardy did, Greg Hardy was you know, in a domestic abuse situation. He had beat up the girlfriend, and then when it came time for the court trial against Greg Hardy, the girlfriend never showed up, and they can't find her. I'm assuming she was paid to stay away, but Greg Hardy somehow got his suspension. He's down to 4 games. He's going to miss the first 4 games of the season. This is obviously so they can get Tom Brady back as soon as possible. I don't expect him to miss a single game. I think he will be there on opening night, and I think this opens the door for that. We have come to our final Dosey Award of this year, of 2014-15. We go back a calendar year, like I said, but we are down to our final Dosey Award. Our final Dosey Award this year. And it may vary. Who knows what, you know, what we'll give out. But our final Dosey Award of the year this year goes for Knockout of the Year. You know, we talked a little bit about boxing. We talked a little bit about, you know, the different fights. The thing about it, I mean, it is one-on-one. There is no team to hide you. It is you versus another opponent. And I am going to try to knock you out. I am going to try to render you unconscious. It's the ultimate sport. It really is. I mean, boxing obviously has some issues. MMA sometimes has some other issues. But as far as just the ultimate sport, one-on-one, you know, you versus me trying to render each other unconscious, Knockout of the Year is our final Dosey Award for this year. Let's take a look at our nominees. First nominee, we talked about a little bit earlier, Canelo Alvarez knocks out James Kirkland in the third round of a very, very interesting and fun to watch fight. Ton of action, ton of movement. Both guys just you know, throwing haymakers. Very entertaining fight. Our second nominee, Gennady Golovkin knocks out Marco Antonio Rubio in the second round. And you know, Gennady Golovkin is a guy that I wish a decent fighter would give him a shot. He's an entertaining fighter. He just keeps coming. He's got a huge arsenal. He's got a lot of ways. Mayweather, I know, wants nothing to do with him, but I wish someone would give him a decent shot, because I think he's a very, very good fighter that a lot of people are ducking and trying to hide from. So Gennady Golovkin knocking out Marco Antonio Rubio, and you know, he kind of let him hang on. I mean, he kind of extended him to the second round. I think he could have ended it in the first. Our third nominee, Florida State quarterback DeAndre Johnson knocking out the blonde in the Tallahassee nightclub. That's not, don't count that. It's between Alvarez and Golovkin. It's not that third one. Again, I have some people giving me some bad nominees, but it's between those first two, and we all know it. So let's see who is our final Dosey Award winner. Knockout of the Year. Dosey Award goes to Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby should not be on this list. He does not win Knockout of the Year with the wine and the pills and the zibbity zap. Bill Cosby does not win anything. I apologize, Bill Cosby. That is coming from other people. That is coming from some, you know, I have people that help me out with the show. I have some of you people, and you know who you are, that contributed some of these winners, some of these nominees. You know who you are, and I'm calling you out. Some of that was completely unnecessary. Hey, I hope you enjoyed our first annual Dosey Awards. Next week on the podcast, you know, a couple weeks ago, we took a look at some of the more underrated people in sports. Next week, we're going to look at some of the most overrated people in sports. You definitely do not want to miss that. Going to take a look at through a couple top five lists and some of the things we do. Got to talk a little bit about current things going on in sports, number of things going on in sports we want to touch on, so you don't want to miss that. If you get a chance, please subscribe, rate, and review. Yes, this means you need to go on and rate and review the podcast, because it helps us out on iTunes. It gets us some more listeners, and the bigger we get, the better we get. I would like to thank JSP for all that you do. Could not do this show without you. I would like to thank all of you for listening to the first Dosey Awards. I hope you enjoyed it. I appreciate you all listening so much. I will see you all next week. Have a great week, everybody.